Amen. As you are being seated, I want to invite you to pull out your copy of God's Word and turn with me all those pages to page 1 in Genesis chapter 1. Still Genesis chapter 1. We're continuing in our series as we're walking through these foundational questions, these questions from the catechism so that we can know the foundations of what it is that we believe. Can you all hear me? We're good? And this isn't just to make us smarter. It is there to grow our devotion for the Lord and grow our heart's affections for Him. And so last week when we were together, we looked at question number 4, which was how and why did God create us? And we said very simply and very truthfully and very plainly that God created us, male and female, in His image. And He created us to love Him and to know Him and to dwell with Him and to glorify Him. And we're going to continue as we look at the next question, question 5 tonight. But before we do, we want to read the text. And so Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read a whole lot tonight, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanses, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And verses 26 on, we discussed last week that God said, "Let us make man in our image," and He did. And He commanded that they be fruitful and multiply, and they did. And look down at verse 31. "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." So in Genesis chapter 1, we are given the record of what took place at the beginning of all creation. We are widening the scope of what we talked about last week, which was just how did God create man which is there in verses 26 through 30. And we said last week that he created man, male, and female in his image, and he created them with that purpose, to love him, to live with him, to serve him, to glorify him, as they ruled and reigned over his creation, as the divine representative in creation. Now remember, I also told you last week that Moses is the author of Genesis. Right? And so Moses is writing to the children of Israel about who their God was. So the same God who had called the Israelites out of Egypt and rescued them from their slavery, the same God who had made a covenant with them that he was going to be for them, be their God, the same God who was establishing the nation of Israel as a light for all the other nations, this same God was to not be equal in power or authority or worship with the false gods that surrounded God's people, the people of Israel. The other nations, they worshiped moon gods and sun gods and gods of the stars. But the one true and living God reveals himself as the Almighty, as the supreme power of the universe, whose word alone caused everything that exists to come into being. And so tonight, we build on last week's foundation as we look at question number 5 in the catechism. What else did God create? What else did God create? And the answer, God created all things by his powerful word, and all his creation was very good. God created all things by his powerful word, and all his creation was very good. The great starting point of God's revelation to us is Genesis 1:1. Where he reveals all of creation had a beginning. And at the beginning of it all was God, who created this new and perfect universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's the cosmos. It's everything that exists. Now, before you ask, well, what was God doing before creation began? What was he doing up there? Right? Let me just leave you with what the classic Christian theologian Augustine said. He said that God was preparing hell for people who ask such foolish questions. Okay? Now, obviously that is a joke, and next week if you ask that question, I'll probably give you that same answer. But God is eternal, right? Meaning that before he ever created anything, he was existing forever. He has no beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And as we've previously discussed, this one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he was never lonely or sad or depressed and created because he needed a creation. He was fully satisfied in himself. But he created all things that he might share with us his goodness. In verse 2, we see that there's a declaration of the supremacy of God's power. Because as he created all things out of nothing. It says that the earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. This is a strong theological truth for us, that God has created all things out of nothing. I want you to stop and think about the most creative person you know in your life. Somebody that just is creative, just able to make great things. For me, when I think about the most creative person, it's my friend Matt. We grew up together, and he is a filmmaker in the Denton area. And Matt has this great eye where he can just capture images, and he uses colors, and he makes commercials and these short films, and he works for churches and does all this stuff, and it is phenomenal. He's the most creative person by far that I know. And as awesome as his work is, and as creative as he is, and as much as I would like to be like him, he has nothing on God. Nothing at all. Because Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, look at this. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So not even the most creative people in our world today that you can think of has anything on God, because every creative person that you can think of right now creates what they create out of something. If they are if it's Matt, he uses a camera and lighting and actors in order to produce his film. He has to create something from something. A painter needs a paintbrush and acrylics. Even a musician has to have notes and chords and a melody to write a song. Sculptors need sediment and plaster to carve an image. But God, he needs nothing. No materials. God did not begin to create using things that already were provided to him. From absolutely nothing, God created all things. There's already this distinction of who God is, what he is like, and his power, that he can create out of nothing. You can't do that, I can't do that, as we will keep seeing tonight. And then from verse 3 through the rest of the chapter, we see God creating the heavens and the earth. He created light and he separated darkness. God created the heavens and separated them from the waters. He gathers the waters together and he calls them seas, and the dry land he calls them earth. God commanded that there be plants and trees and vegetation. He commanded lights in the heavens, the moon and the sun and the stars to appear, and then he sets them in place like you and I would put a book on a shelf. He commanded the depths of the seas to swarm with life and for the heavens to be populated with birds. He commands that the earth bring forth creatures, and it was so. And seeing that there was no creature that would reflect him rightly, on the sixth day, he creates man. So from the gigantic and complex to the microscopic and the simple, God has created all things. Scripture affirms this. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. To this prayer that is lifted up, "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all of their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you." Now, if we aren't careful when we read Genesis 1, we might miss something really cool, especially for us who have grown up in the church and have been at church since Moses was there next to us at VBS. And we know these verses and we say, I get it. God made it. It was good. But not only did God create all things out of nothing, but God creates by the word of his power. Just simply using his voice, he speaks and it is so. I can't do that. I can't make things happen with just my voice. You can't do that. I had a preaching professor in seminary who said the one thing you should never do is ask a congregation to do something in a sermon. I was preaching in the class on James and taming the tongue, and I asked everybody to stick out their tongue. And I think like two people did it, right? Because when you, my words don't have authority. So I can ask you to do something and you're not going to do it. Why? Because what are my words, right? You'll never hear me say, "Hey, look to your neighbor and say." You know why? Because when the pastor tells me to do that, I don't do it, right? And you probably don't either. I don't have the ability by my simple words to command obedience in you. Oh, but God's word. My words don't come with power, but God's words, oh man, do those words come with power and immediate obedience. Do you see there in the text how everything that is created in the universe is the result of "and God said"? 11 times in 30 verses, we read, "God said," and "God said," and "God said," and "God said." And with each one, notice what it is that God speaks. It's a command. Everyone, "and God said, let there be." That's a command. He is telling them, let this happen. And what is incredible is that after each and every single command, "Let there be light, let there be an expanse, let the waters separate, let the earth sprout, let the seas swarm," and it follows each and every time after what he says, "It is so." And God said, "Let there be," and it is so. God speaks, he gives a command, and all of creation obeys and flourishes at the sound of just his word, his voice. We know that Scripture teaches us a lot about God's word, right? You can probably think of passages in your mind that God's word is living and active, that it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that it accomplishes what it sets out to do, that the word of God does not return void or empty. Does not our text here tonight prove these very truths? That God speaks and commands the creation to come forth, and it does. There is no hesitation. There's no, I don't feel like it. There's no, let me muster it up. It was so, and it was so, and it is so. God's not like that old Mickey Mouse cartoon in Fantasia where he finds the sorcerer's hat, if you know what I'm talking about. And Mickey puts on the sorcerer's hat, and he sees this broomstick laying on the wall, and so he goes to it, and he kind of tries to make it come alive. And obviously it doesn't work, so he sits there, and he kind of musters it up a little bit, and he pulls up his sleeve, and he does it again, and there's a little bit of sparks that come out. And then the third time, he really gets into it, puts a lot of grit, and you know does it, and then now there's this power that comes out of him. Our God is not like that. Our God of the Bible speaks, and without hesitation, all of creation jumps into life and begins to exist in perfect obedience. There is no one who is like our God. He doesn't have to learn how to use his power. He uses his power, and it is infinite, and it is effective, and it is finished. There's not this warming up. It's not like Clark Kent learning how to use his superpowers and having to go through this, you know, trial period. God's power is infinite and perfect and complete simply by his voice the moment he decrees it. And God looks at the resulting creation that obeys his word, and day after day, he looks at what has been accomplished and he calls it good. God calls it good. When every single day there is obedience to his word, he calls it good. From the very beginning, God has told his people what good is. The text shows us that what is good is what God says is good. And what God says is good is when there is obedience to his word. Listen to that one more time. From the very beginning, God has told his people what is good. We don't have to question, what does God think is good? I wonder if God agrees with this or if he doesn't agree with it. God says what is good, and it is obedience to his word. For 6 days, God creates the heavens and he creates the earth. He creates man as the pinnacle of his creative work. And we see at verse 31, what does he say? God saw everything that he had made, the earth, the sea, the sky, the expanses, the earth, the animals, and everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. You know why God's creation was very good at this point? Because it was operating perfectly. It was exactly as it should, complete obedience to our Lord and God, our Creator. When the Bible talks about, especially here in Genesis, about it being good, it's a Hebrew word, tov. It's one of my favorite Hebrew words in the Bible. Because it doesn't just mean good as in not bad. It means good as in operating rightly. Operating as it was created to do. It is functioning. So when God created these things in creation, and he says it is good, it doesn't mean that it's a little bit faulty. It doesn't mean like, you know, some days the sun is there and some days it's not. It doesn't mean that there's a tree that's got a little bit of brown on it. Like, it's good. Everything is working correctly as it was created to do. And with man completely created, ruling and reigning over creation, God says, this is very good. Things are operating the way they should go. But we hear that, and we look around, and you see your yard. You see your neighbor's yard. You see the yard that you wish the HOA would call on, right? You look at the world. You look at horrors like 9/11 and terror. And you say, whoa, 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 what? This isn't good. What's happened? Romans 8 tells us that this good and perfect creation is in bondage to corruption and subjected to futility. That all of creation right now groans with the pains of childbirth. What has happened? Well, we know what's happened. That pinnacle of God's creation, the man Adam, he traded perfect obedience and what was good for him, and instead believed that he could judge for himself what was good. God told him what was good, and he rebelled against God. And that rebellion has now caused all of God's creation to no longer be perfectly obedient. Sin plagued all of creation, and it was never the same. That sin produced only death, not the joy that it promised, not the freedom that it said that it would offer, but only death. And you and I are just as Adam was. We have all, at different times and in different ways, we've rejected the God who has created us and his word that gives us life. And in our foolishness, we choose to reject life, reject his word, rebel against it completely. And to reject life and God's word is to choose death. It is really that black and white. It is actually that simple. We are guilty of deliberate disobedience to God's word that we must give an account for. It's a sad day when waters and earth and dirt and stars and suns and moons are more obedient than God's pinnacle of creation, those that bear his image. So we're guilty of this. So what do we do? But the great good news of the gospel is that God has, who is so rich in mercy, has looked upon his creation with kindness. And even though that is true, that we are not obedient, even though it is true that we do what is good in our own eyes and reject what God has said is good, he has made a way for all of our punishment and for all of that wrath that's been stored up for that punishment to be redirected on something else, on someone else, a divine representative that he sends to cover us. God, in his great plan and great wisdom, has sent a new and better Adam, one who would not only live in perfect obedience, but who would die a sacrificial death, one who would come having no sin and take upon himself our sin, and take all of our unrighteousness and clothe us by faith in his righteousness that we might be spared. This new Adam is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was crucified and buried and rose again after 3 days. And as of right now, he sits at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning perfectly as Adam failed to do. And his word to us is that he is coming again. That there will be a day of new heavens and a new earth. And sin and disobedience and rebellion to God will be completely gone. It'll be no more. But until then, God has given us his word for you, for me, for tonight. And his word has promised us that all who look upon him and believe, who come with honest humility, that those who believe in his son and believe in what he has done for us at the cross, that we will rule and reign with Christ the Son. Not as rebels to his will, but as brothers and sisters, co-heirs in this new kingdom, fellow children of the one true God, rightly operating as we were created to do. This is our great hope. As we read in Genesis and we see that God says and God says and God says, and it was good, this obedience was good. And we see our lack of obedience and we desire goodness. There is none who is good. No, not one. So we need the only one who has been good for us. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our great hope, you guys, that if by God's word everything that exists exists because of his word, that he brought forth everything from nothing, how much more will his words to you and I prove to be faithful and true? Oh, that we would long for a day when all things are good, when all things flourish as they once did, as they will. When Christ the King rules and reigns completely and totally. You see, when an all-powerful, sovereign God makes an entire universe and he shares that goodness with us, the right response is for those creatures, those things that are created, to worship, to praise him, to be thankful, to have thanksgiving in our heart, because you are utterly dependent on God's word. Nothing that exists exists apart from God's word. So why do we act like we can live without it? Why do we live as if God's word is great for those days when I'm really struggling, but for the daily sustenance that I don't need it? Jesus didn't teach that. Jesus taught us in the moment of temptation that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So how do we do that? Very practically, we read it. He has not hidden his word. It's not so high that we can't understand it. It is revealed to us if we would read it. He has promised that if we would seek him, that we would find him. And we would know what is good. And the more you know what is good, guess what? Then you have a taste for what is good. And when you get a taste of the bad, you know it real quick. And you don't want it, because you know that you have something better. But we know what is good. The Lord is good. He is compassionate and kind, and he has created all things to share that goodness with us. So because of the gospel, we are free to enjoy God's good creation. Even in its fallen state, there are still good things that we can enjoy with a greater hope that, you know what, it's going to be better one day. So I'm going to drink this coffee, and I'm going to do it to the glory of God because it's good. But guess what? There's going to be coffee in heaven. I pray, I hope, God, that there is. And it'll be so much better. Colors that we can't even imagine right now, that we can't see with the eyes that we have. Species and animal, like all sorts of stuff that we have no idea. And that's just fringe benefits. The benefit is that we are with the God who created us, and we dwell with him securely and infinitely forever and ever and ever. Amen. That should well up joy in us, church. That should make us excited. I want us to do something a little different tonight. As we end tonight, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. So we think about this idea that the right response of those who are created is to worship. And I want us to honor God's word as we stand to our feet. Yeah, that's right. Come on, stand to your feet. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to ask you to read out loud. I'm going to read, but I want us to make this a declaration of our heart. Listen to the words of Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beast and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. God has created all things by his powerful word, and all of his creation was very good. Everything flourished under his loving rule, as it will again when he returns and restores all things to what is good. We have much hope, church. Let's pray. Father God, you are so good, and you have directed your goodness to us who do not deserve it. Because we read of Adam, and we stand in self-righteousness and say, well, I would never do that, and Lord, you know we have done it this week. We have neglected your word. We have believed lies. We have rejected you. Lord, have mercy on us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his rule and his reign. Thank you that he invites us in. And thank you, by faith, we believe this account of creation. And it gives us hope and a future. Father, oh, that it would be a seed buried deep in our hearts that would bear much fruit. Lord, that we would speak to what is good, that we would look ahead to what is to come. And by faith, each day we would walk in the hope of what is ours securely in Christ. Your word does not return void. Lord, make us obedient to your word, that we might know what is good and be declared good in your sight. We need Jesus. Oh, that he would come and restore all things before we get home tonight. May you be exalted and praised and honored forever and ever. Amen.